I go over and get it hooked up here today.
Oh, there we go. It does latch on. I had to wear a sweater without buttons today. I somehow got a tendonitis in my thumb, and I can't button shirts this week. So we were painting this week, and it must have been from the way I held the bucket. I just did something wrong, and it's very painful. But isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? I just love coming to share the day with you guys, and what a blessing to be able to be up here and minister on Easter Sunday. I don't know, it might be the first time I've ever been able to bring the Easter message. And it's a message that we hear every week. I mean, it's what we live. It's what we, without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have no Christian life. I mean, that's how it is. If without Jesus' blood, without His sacrifice, without the resurrection, we have no hope. So thank the Lord for that. Will you pray with me, please? Father, this morning as we come to share what You have given me for the body this morning, Lord, I ask that You will have Your way. Father, that I'll not get in Your way at all, Lord, but that I'll let You speak what You want to the body today. And Lord, that we'll have ears to hear what You're saying to the church today. Father, we are so thankful for the love that You have for us, that You loved us so much that You sent Your one and only Son to die for us and to rise again so that we can have life eternal with You. So we just say thank You, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to begin today in Luke chapter 24. This is the resurrection story, and you all know it. But I just want to begin there. And then I've entitled the lesson today on Course to the Cross, and just to show you that from the beginning of time, God had this in mind for us. He had this plan for us from the beginning of time, and He has a plan for each one of our lives, and it's a good plan. He has a good plan for each of us. So let's begin in Luke 24, verse 1. It says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, and I just can imagine what they were thinking, what they were wondering. Man, we know this is where they buried Jesus. Wonder where He went. Wonder why He's not here. Do you suppose He really did rise like He said He would? And they wondered. They didn't know what was going on, because here they came to the tomb to put spices on the body and to prepare His body, and they says they were wondering about this, and suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, He is risen." Hallelujah. That's the story for today. He is not here. He's not in the tomb. He's risen. Let's just flip one page over to 1 John. I want you to see, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. As I went back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God. God created the heavens and the earth. And so, and then as I read on there, He said, He made man, and He said, let us make man in our image. So why did God say, let us make man in our image? Why didn't He just say, He said, I'll make man in My image. Because of the Trinity, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They were there together, and they were talking, and they said, We need somebody to have a relationship with. Somebody that we can love, who will love us in return. Somebody that we can walk in the cool of the evening and share life with. We can just walk through their life with them. Make it easier for them. And so they made man in their image. So we're created in God's image. And here in verse 1 of chapter 1 of John, it says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word is Jesus Christ." You can see on down in verse 14, it says, "The Word became flesh, made His dwelling among us." So Jesus is God, and God is Jesus. The Holy Spirit is with Him, and it's just an awesome thing that we have all three to help us through life. I can't imagine going through my life without having the Holy Spirit to lead me daily. I mean, He's the one who just brings us along every day, takes us through the hard things. And life does get hard sometimes, doesn't it, man? Life does get hard sometimes. We all know that. But we have them, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, there to walk through with us. Say, verse 2 says, "He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God, and his name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light," and if you remember the story of John the Baptist, many thought that he was the Christ because of the things that he was doing. He was baptizing and bringing. He was actually preparing the way for Jesus, is what John's purpose was. And it says here that that was his reason he came, was to bear witness of the Savior, that the Savior was coming. And the Jewish people were looking for the Messiah because it was prophesied back in Isaiah chapter 40 that the Messiah would be coming and that John the Baptist would be coming to prepare the way for him. And so they were looking for the Messiah, but they didn't really like the way he came, did they? They didn't really like the way he came. But he said that he came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh, made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now let's go back to the first chapter of Luke. It's pretty cool how the angels came to declare the coming of Jesus and to bring the message that Jesus was going to be born and the Savior of the world was coming to be born. And in Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 11, it says, "Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him," and that's to Zechariah. Zechariah was one of the priests in the temple there. him and Elizabeth were old, and they hadn't had any children. She was barren. And so the angel came to Zechariah, and this is, let's see what he said. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was startled, was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth." Imagine having a son that's filled with the Holy Spirit from birth, from the time he was born into the world. And Zechariah, being a man of God, he was there working in the temple and as one of the priests in the temple. And he was kind of wondering how this was going to happen. So he asked the Lord, how is this going to be? He said, "Well, or how will I know that this is going to happen?" So, "Well, since, so that you'll know, you're not going to speak until it happens." So John couldn't speak anymore. So he had to write things down for his wife to know. And in verse 18 there it says, Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man. My wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." So Zechariah and Elizabeth are going to have John the Baptist. They're going to have a son named John. The angel told him, "You're going to call him John." Well, there was nobody else in his family named John, and they always named from somebody else in the family. But when he was born, that's what they named him, was John. And in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, it says God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Imagine getting that kind of a greeting. She was not married. The virgin girl from Nazareth. It says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Guys, we're part of that kingdom. We're a part of his kingdom. Kingdom that will never end. "How will this be, Mary?" asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month." And if you forget everything else I say today, remember verse 37. "For nothing is impossible with God." We forget that so easy, don't we? It's easy to lose sight of who God is and what He wants for us. But just as the angel said to Mary, He says to us today, "For nothing is impossible with God." I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. And then the angel left her. So already Mary accepted the responsibility of bringing the Savior into the world. She accepted that she was going to be a servant to bear that responsibility. It would have been just as easy to say, I can't do that. I can't possibly do that. There's no way this can happen to me. But she didn't. She believed the Lord. And then as it goes on, now, this is the part that I really love because it says, at that time Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea where she was going to see Zechariah and Elizabeth. And it says, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. So Mary, you're going to be blessed because you believed, because you acted on faith and said, yes, I'll accept that responsibility. She said, let it be unto me as you have said. And how often we don't want to take the responsibility that God gives us. We say, I can't do that. Can't possibly do that. But we have to know, according to the Word, that God does take care of us, that He will accomplish what He says to us with His purpose in our lives. And then Mary said, My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. And I'm not going to go on and read the rest of her song there, but Mary's song is there in Luke chapter 1. Just an awesome song that she sings to the Lord there. So Jesus then grew in wisdom and strength, it says in the Word, and he walked the earth and ministered for, 3 years, I believe, and did many miracles. There's a couple of verses in 1 Peter that I want you to see now. 1 Peter 2. Verses 23 to 25. First Peter 2. It says, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep gone astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. So he bore all of our sins on the cross. That was his plan from the beginning of time. You know, in fact, I just talked about this the last time I preached, I think, how they had to sacrifice. They had to bring a sacrifice there 2 or 3 times a year for their sins. They had to kill a goat or a calf or pigeons or a couple doves and bring them and sacrifice for their sins and confess their sins. And God knew when he gave the Ten Commandments to Moses, that he had a better plan. And that his Son would be coming to take that place, to die on the cross for our sins, to be the sacrifice so that we don't have to come every day or every week or every month and bring a sacrifice for our sins, because God paid that sacrifice with his Son. He died on the cross in his broken body for our healing, so that our bodies are able to heal. And thank God for all that he has done for us. Hallelujah. And today I want to finish up back in Luke chapter 24 and just go on with the rest of the Easter story there, the resurrection story. And I just left off there in verse 6. You remember, it says, "He is not here, he is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words, as he had told them, "I'm going to be going away. I'm going to leave and have to die. I'm going to be crucified." And they just couldn't understand it. They just didn't want to hear it, because they'd been walking. The disciples had been walking with Jesus for 3 years here, and that was their life. They just spent their days and nights with him. And but he said, "Remember that I told you," and they did remember his words. And so when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the others. And it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. They had already told the soldiers to tell the people that somebody came and stole the body away. So that's what the Jewish community was telling the people, that the body of Jesus was stolen. It's gone. It's not there. And so it seemed like nonsense that he was gone, that he was alive, because they'd saw him crucified. They'd seen him put into the tomb, but now the tomb's empty. It says, "Peter, however, got up and he ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened." What is going on here? I wonder what's going on. What happened to Jesus? Where's he at? So now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other everything that had happened, and as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" Just imagine two guys just walking along, discussing what's going on, and here Jesus just stopped and walked with them, and they don't know it's him. "What are you guys talking about? What are you discussing?" And they stood still, their faces downcast, and one of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor in Jerusalem and you don't know what's going on, what things have happened here these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed, and before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death. They crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." So they had been planning for this. They had hoped that Jesus was the Messiah, that he was going to be the one to save his people. It says, "What is more, it's the third day since this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us, and they went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. It wasn't there. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, "How foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And so, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther, and they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Imagine sitting there with the people and Jesus in your midst. You didn't know it was him, and he began to break bread as he did in the past. They broke bread together many times, and here he was again. And that's when their eyes were open and they recognized him. They recognized him, and it says he disappeared from their sight. So they asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true. The Lord has risen. He's appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. So Jesus is alive, guys. He's not in the tomb. He's our Savior. He loves us so much. And as children of God, it says in John 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And then in Romans 5:8 it says, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So we're all sinners. We've all, at one time or another, fallen short of the glory of God. In fact, probably daily, we're not what we're supposed to be in his eyes. But he loves us. He cares for us. And he made a way for us to all to come to him. And in Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death." So each one of us, because we have sinned, should die for our sins. But Jesus made it possible that we don't have to, that we can live forever. First Corinthians 15:3-4, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." And Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him." And Romans 10:13, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." He doesn't leave anybody out. He doesn't leave anybody out. So if there's anybody here today that has never received Jesus as your Savior, I would love for you to be able to do that today, and I'd like to give you this testament as well. If you just need to come for prayer, you've already accepted the Lord and you've got something heavy going on in your life, you need prayer for it, well, I come and the elders will pray for you, lift you up to the Lord. Some musicians come. And we'll close out with an invitation. has accepted the Lord this morning. So lift him up this week. His name is Brady. Glory to God. That's why we're here, guys. See the kingdom of God come to the world. So don't forget to pray for him this week. Because as you all know, when we accept the Father, accept Jesus as our Savior, then Satan wants to come and make a problem for us. Julie.
The Easter Bunny told me that he gave candy to all the kids, so if you wanted to apologize in advance because he knows that they're already wanted to. That's sorry.
All right. So yeah, enjoy your candy, children.
Okay. Posted videos on Facebook. By the grace of God, I've been able to get back in.
Okay.
So if you are on Facebook, though, it's not a lot. A lot of terrible things. And I was able to post a video on this lesson.
Amen.
Slowly fall apart, put it mildly, repairs need to be done, and got my brother on passport, and we waited to hear from getting the assistance that we need to fix the back porch again, things like this.
Okay.
And the car needs fixed, and we all have common valley there, the car needs fixed once in a while. My little window won't go up and down on the driver's side, it's things like this, and the enemy tries to pile on. He doesn't send a raging river to you. He sends a stream, and the stream slowly speaks up on you.
Yep.
So, I regret that. And I want to make it out loud.
All right.
I want the whole congregation.
Amen. Yep.
We all worship the same God.
Yes, we do.
We see each other in the stores or wherever. Let's greet one another.
Amen. Yes.
And not be afraid of one another.
Right. Thank you, Lord. Yep. Let's close with prayer. And we'll go. Father, we thank you today for joining us here. Thank you, Lord, for Braden. Lord, we lift him up to you. So just hedge your angels around him this week. And Father, for Larry, we just lift him up as well. We just ask, Father, that you'll meet their needs. That you'll just open up the windows of heaven. That he will have blessings that he can't contain. Father, as he seeks your face, that you'll be there to meet his needs every day. Father, I ask now that you'll go with the body as we go this week. Lord, that you'll prepare the way ahead of us, that we'll find people that we work with, that we meet in our daily walk of life, that need you, that we can share Jesus with. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in peace.